Hi, this is Bob Trake is bringing you the other side of the news. I'm in the studio with Michael Ullwood, the managing editor of the Columbus Free Press. I'm the editor-in-chief, but Michael does a lot of the gritty work, the editing of the articles, and knows in much more detail than I do what's going to be in the upcoming September Free Press. Michael, welcome once again to the other side of the news.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Robert, and always a pleasure to see our lovely assistant here, the person who mans the operation of this radio program, Suzanne Patzer, and it's always a pleasure, and always a pleasure to talk to you, and always a pleasure to talk about the Free Press, which brings truth to the people of Central Ohio. Always has, and always will.
Again, our slogan, speaking truth to power. Well, Michael Ullwood, you've got the September issue coming out on Monday. We're talking here the day before on a Sunday afternoon. Anything exciting in this issue?
Well, the cover story is an eye-opener. It details the political history of Zach Klein, the president of the Columbus City Council, who in name is a Democrat. As we all know, all of the current members, the seven members of Columbus City Council, are in name members of the Democratic Party here in Central Ohio, and they have historically not acted like Democrats,
but more like traditional Republicans, which if we look at the history, Michael Ullwood, a lot of this goes back really to the rise of the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, associated, funded in part by the Koch brothers to move the Democratic Party to the right. But their first big success was with the election of Bill Clinton in 1992, who then came out for neoliberal free trade policies, NAFTA. But locally, people forget that was the year Denny White, a former Republican, ran for county commissioner, lost, but ended up within a couple years becoming the chair of the Franklin County Democrats, purging. I was on the Central Committee at the time. I'm a recovering Democrat. They purged me, as well as all other progressives, and he took over the party, and then he also became the state chair. So essentially, there was a coup d'etat.
They purged you.
Yes, literally, they threw out, they forced out all the progressives, or what we now call Sanders-type Democrats. Leftist progressives. But so that's been ongoing. The interesting thing is no one really had mentioned that Zach Klein had ties to far right-wing organizations.
And now that brings me to a story, and let me interject one thing that elsewhere in the Free Press in September, you will see a story about issue one, which failed in August to change the way city council is assembled. An issue that Jonathan Beard, who writes the cover story about Zach Klein, initiated 4 years ago to bring representative government to city council by electing council members by ward instead of at large, which is the current situation. Pardon me. But I was thinking about when I read the Zach Klein story, it was so eye-opening to me that I could not help, and I will interject this, that I've always been critical of the right-wing media for pulling the Nazi card, which they do frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, they talk about Barack Obama and slide in the Nazi reference. But I saw the movie X-Men First Class recently, and there's a scene in it.
Thumb up or thumb down, Michael?
Thumb up. It's a great movie. Michael Fassbender, who plays the role of Magneto, ambles into a backwater bar in Argentina. He's in search of a former Nazi, the one who killed his mother. And he runs across these two gentlemen. And the one says, "Ich bin ein Schweinebauer." The other says, "Eine Schneider." One says, "I'm a pig farmer." The other says, "I'm a tailor." And they and he asks them, you know, why they came to Argentina. Das Klima. For the climate. Well, they're Nazis. So what have they done? They've reinvented themselves as a pig farmer and as a tailor. And as I read the story about Zach Klein, I realized he's reinvented himself. He's faded away. He's erased his past as a right-wing operative in order to be a so-called Democrat in order to get on city council in Columbus.
So, to get appointed.
To get appointed.
So he whitewashes his resume,
mm-hmm.
and but what he couldn't whitewash is pictures of himself in a tuxedo at the Bush-Cheney re-election inaugural,
mm-hmm.
and also that picture of himself in a Pat T. Berry t-shirt.
He campaigned for Pat T. Berry.
And he also was an intern for Dana Price, the a leader of the Franklin County Republican Party and a key advisor to the Republican governor,
mm-hmm.
John Kasich.
And so, you know, one wonders what... Here's the thing that I wondered after reading this article, which I urge every listener to read and understand, to get... Here's what I wonder. What benefits are there coming from being a member or even the president of Columbus City Council that would make a tiger change his stripes to spots? What benefit comes from that? What payoff is there to do that? Because he's certainly done that.
You're listening to Michael Allwood, the managing editor of the Columbus Free Press. I'm Bob Fitrakis, bringing you the other side of the news. And the other side of the news says Zach Klein was a member of the Federalist Society, sponsored by the Koch brothers. $2.4 million worth to bring you a far right-wing legal organization that has changed the nature of American politics, that has brought us Citizens United, a decision pushed by Scalia, one of the leading lions of the Federalist Society, which Zach Klein was a member of, bringing us corporate anonymous donations that have corrupted our politics beyond belief, Michael Allwood.
Absolutely. It has changed everything, and it's to the detriment of the population of Central Ohio. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I want to interject this, that along with reading the cover story about Zach Klein, I call everybody's attention to the Columbus Media Insider in this month's issue of the Free Press, where it lays out, I mean, the Media Insider is always a good read, but certainly this month is interesting in that it points out the nature of, I mean, the Columbus Dispatch has a history of being, how should I put this, in the
partisan, pro-Republican.
Pro-Republican. But
except they love that all-Democratic city council.
Oh, they love that city council. But the Columbus Media Insider this month points out that the Dispatch is basically a middle-aged white man-run newspaper, and every major appointment to the Dispatch staff is manned by a middle-aged white man. And it points out that the population of Columbus and Central Ohio is not so homogeneous as that, and that the Dispatch, even under its new and corporate leadership, is still ignoring its readership base, and it's focused on middle-aged white men holding every major position. And it contrasts with other newspapers who are more diverse in their staffing, and how the Dispatch would benefit by diversifying more. And so basically, everything that's going on in the free press this month is eye-opening, and there are many other examples I could cite. We talked a little bit about issue one, which failed at the beginning of the month mm-hmm. in the special election, to change the way city council is operated and constructed. Jonathan's five-year-long effort to bring council members to the council via a ward system, in other words, having council members who represent an area of the city, Linden, the Hilltop, all these different areas of the city where those representatives could look out for the interests of their own neighborhood, which certainly would be beneficial to the overall running of the city. Don't you agree?
I agree with that. And this is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. And I'm agreeing with Michael Allwood, the managing editor of the Columbus Free Press. So if we reflect back on all these things going on, now you've got, it's, you could almost say that, I'd be willing to say that, why don't we think of Zach Klein as a plant? It's almost like the seeds of, I love giving tax abatements to the richest people. Mm-hmm. All of that was historically associated, not with urban Democratic parties,
no,
but with suburban-based Republican parties. So in many ways, it's almost like they infiltrated with Zach Klein, with these right-wing connections. And the story is just coming out now.
Well, I go back to Buck Reinhardt. Dana G.
Who was significantly more progressive than Zach Klein.
Yes, yes. But Buck started those things where they were tax abatements. And
sure.
And Buck did a lot for the city. I give him credit for having done a lot for the city. It was Buck who, for example, created Red, White, and Boom. He tried re-beautification of the downtown area. Mm-hmm. He did a number of things. But among those things was the tax abatements and other things. And and his protege, Greg Lashutka, continued those things. Those were Republicans, though. But the Democrats who followed their blueprint and continue to do so to this day. And now we have a new mayor who was knighted by the previous mayor, Michael Coleman, in Andrew Ginther, who continues the same policies. And the policies of Andrew Ginther vary very little from those of Greg Lashutka or Buck Reinhardt before him. And I just want to, I'm thinking about something that I want to get out there for the listener to also check the Free Press for an article that talks about how issue one that would have changed the way city council is elected and how it was defeated by lies and innuendo linking the efforts to change the way city council is elected, linking it to the Koch brothers and the Republican Party, which couldn't be further from the truth. And that's how they defeated it, with scare tactics and a lot of money put in for advertising. And there, it was all based on lies.
This is Dr. Bob Fitragis bringing you the other side of the news. You're listening to Community Radio, WCRS 98.3, 102.1. And I'm in the studio with managing editor of the Columbus Free Press, Michael Allwood. And that is the great irony. So when you look at these claims, and this is how they argued it, the party of Trump endorsed
issue one,
right, on districts being brought where there'd be representation from all over the city instead of just a handful of at-large people who get money from Les Wexner and AEP and the richest families. So that was their lie, in that the party of Trump associated with the Koch brothers. So we investigate, and lo and behold, it's Zach Klein with the ties to the Koch brothers. It's Zach Klein, who had been a card-carrying Republican, had worked for Pat Tiberi, had worked for the Republican Party, Dana Price, the party chair, had been at the Bush-Cheney re-election, right? While Democrats, people like myself, were reporting on what's going on in Florida and the stolen votes at the time. I'm now a Green. But in 2004, Democrats went down there and fought for every vote. Meanwhile, you know, Zach Klein's in his tux heading off to the inauguration and his future as a Republican operative, which basically seems to say, why don't you run for the council as a Democrat and bring Republican programs
the
to the people of Columbus.
Astounding. And I think about 2004, of course, Bob, you famously wrote a book about what happened in Ohio, but we could also talk about what happened in Florida. And in 2012, I think you will remember, I interviewed John Kerry on my radio program at that time when we were both on WVKO. And John Kerry was very aware of what you had written about what happened in 2004, but unwilling to, it still baffles me why John Kerry basically threw up his hands and said, okay, I'm done. And George Bush, thanks to, what was the woman's name who was the Attorney General, at Catherine?
In 2000? In Florida?
What was her name? Suzanne?
Harris.
Catherine Harris.
Good thing we have Suzanne in the studio.
Yes.
Catherine Harris, who went on to be a U.S. Congresswoman.
Congresswoman, yes. And we also, let's not forget Jeb Bush.
Bush, the governor?
Of the state of Florida. So we had a second election stolen from Democrats by all sorts of means that we have reported on repeatedly in the Free Press. And once again, I want to say, if you want to know the truth about what's going on, you got to pick up the Free Press.
And again, in this issue, moving forward, I was able to contribute an article on the police in Columbus.
That's a sad, sad commentary on... And before we went on the air, Bob, you and I were talking about this. You have to read this piece about what has been happening in Columbus with the police and basically their killing of mostly young black males, and how high that rate is comparative to the 100 largest cities in the United States. And it's a wonder, and it's astounding to me that we haven't had protests or even riots here in the city of Columbus. due to the mistreatment of young black males in our society. The answer, it seems to me, by law enforcement is, shoot first, ask questions later. Robert, do you see it any other way?
Well, I think what the stats lead to, and you know, I have a PhD in political science, I like social science stats, seems to indicate that neighborhoods with the highest crime rate were targeted. Wasn't done in Buffalo, for example, Buffalo, New York, where if you look there, they have high crime rates, but they didn't shoot anyone between January 2013.
Toledo hasn't had a shooting in, what, 3 years or something?
Well, they have very low rate in Toledo. For every, 100,000 black citizens, the shooting rate
is 26. And it's not like Toledo has a ghetto.
Toledo's got, very harsh areas that have, high rates of unemployment, in many ways worse than Columbus. So what you're trying to figure out is why Columbus has such a high rate of shooting, right? There was a study that came out in 2011 that showed out of the 50 largest cities, Columbus was, in fact, number two per population.
And the first was, do you remember?
Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. You take your chances.
Yeah.
What stays in Vegas? What goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Which apparently is a racist police shooting.
Yes, and it's certainly nothing for Columbus to be proud of. But again, I'm shocked that we haven't had demonstrations or riots or just some sort of outpouring of concern in Columbus. And I wonder whether or not it's a social condition where the people are afraid to show unrest for fear of
being shot. A long tradition going back, of course, to Governor Rhodes.
Yes.
And four dead in Ohio. So, yeah, it's something to consider. There doesn't seem to be among really the black professional population, which is significant here, a willingness to take more direct action, nonviolent action, or otherwise. And
let's use this opportunity now to talk about something that you're going to be a part of very soon, and that's the meeting you're having at the Whetstone Library, and a chance to talk about these very things, and tell us about that.
Well, the Citizens Grassroots Congress is Bob Petragas bringing you the other side of the news with Michael Allwood, the managing editor of the Columbus Free Press. I did write a column, Bob Bites Back, pointing out, again, the absurdity. The idea of district representation on council came from the Citizens Grassroots Council.
I think it was brought there by Jonathan, though. Jonathan Beard, right?
Jonathan Beard was one of the key people pushing it, yes. Jonathan Beard was, and the Green Party, as it developed as well. So the Citizens Grassroots Congress, I said council there, that's more of my dream. I think you'd have a far more representative government if the Citizens Grassroots Congress representatives, they'd actually, who come out of the neighborhoods, who are the neighborhood activists, would be in charge. I really think the one-party system, there's different models, right, of government.
Well, let's talk about when it is and how people can get involved first, because there's something I want to say before we leave, and it's about the Free Press. So, when is the Congress meeting? On the 11th, is it?
September 11th, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, from 1 to 5 at the Whetstone Library. And anybody is welcome, as I understand
it. Yeah, and we're asking people to bring a resolution, a proposal, a policy proposal. And we're willing to consider all of them and pass as many as we can. And then we'd like to see if we can agree on what are the top three or so priorities that we want to work on. For example, a past grassroots Congress back in 2008, 2009 in that area was a community radio station.
Right. And that's what we have, WCRS.
Yes, as a direct result.
So you're building planks for the future in the platform.
Absolutely.
So let me, go ahead.
Yes, Suzanne is reminding us that this is the pre-election. We'll have
and
a larger Congress.
Postal.
Yeah, we're trying to get
and on the
these
on the 12th of November
before the election.
And then the post-election is the 12th of November.
Yeah.
If I'm at where?
Northwood High.
The Northwood.
Oh, yeah.
Building on High Street.
Right. It's OSU property, and there is parking in the R section. And before we go, Bob, I do want to get to something that I have been remiss in doing when I come on your program, and that is, you know, gosh darn it, we have some good writers working for the Free Press. We really do have some outstanding writers on the Free Press, and we don't laud them enough. We have people like Richard Aides and John Petrick, both of whom were formerly of the other paper. Those were the first two
guys.
Which,
thankfully, the Dispatch bought up
and
put out of business in order to have more diversity.
Yes, yes, exactly what happened. Those were the first two people I went to when we started back up in 2013, was John Petrick and Richard Aides, and they continue to provide fantastic commentary. I urge you to read. Richard went and saw the movie about the Obama's first date. I forget what the name of the movie is, but it's outstanding. Petrick, as always, is entertaining as all get out. Ed Foreman is a very entertaining music writer. A friend of yours, a friend of Suzanne's, who came on just wanting to have an outlet for all the thoughts in his head.
Yeah, very, very decent musician.
And
as well.
A decent musician as well. But he's very entertaining. Ariah Flynn, who writes our socially just dining column, also a very good writer. J.J. Alm, who writes the Geek Speak column. Outstanding writer, and she keeps on top. You know, she talks above my head because I'm not the geek that she is. I don't understand what she's talking about some of the times. Same with Wes Flexner, who covers the hip-hop scene in Columbus. There are times when I can't
provides a survival guide in this issue.
Yes.
So if you're in the campus area, you're a student, make sure you check it out.
Absolutely.
And Julie Whitney Scott, always interesting and
always.
Topical.
Always. And again, Peter Gahn has an insight that, you know, I want to sit down with him sometime and pick his brain just to know what's rattling around in there. But always entertaining. And again, if I've neglected to mention any of our writers, I'm sorry, but we have some seriously good writers, yourself included, Robert.
Well, thank you.
On this paper.
But we're out of time, Michael Allwood. This is Bob Fitrakis. Glad to be bringing you the other side of the news. Thanks, Michael.
My pleasure.